Hello and welcome to Pop Culture Classics. My name is Kenny Puckett, and with me as always is Mr. Levi Smith.
Hey.
How's it going this week, man?
It's going good.
Good. That's good to hear. So if this is the first time you're joining us, welcome. In this podcast, we sit down and discuss old and new pop culture, kind of like rummaging through the back issue box of a comic book shop. So in this episode, we talk about WandaVision.
Yes, yes. We get into it a little bit, try to stay off other potential tangents.
Yes.
Seem to be a lot of them, but we stay on track. I think this is a fun little ride.
Yeah. I think my villain revelation that literally happened in the middle of the episode.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it's
pretty far field, man. Pretty far field, but it would be a mind blower.
If I hit it.
Yeah.
Nail on the head.
Oh,
I'm going to talk about it in the next episode.
Yeah. For the rest of our days.
For the rest of our days.
I called it.
Well, I said, I do talk about it to this day, as I said, Ben Affleck would make a great Batman.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you were right. You're right.
And that's on our other podcast that we don't do anymore.
Yeah, right.
So yeah, enjoy the episode.
Yeah. And then don't forget at the end, we do our top 10 with our top five with a D10.
Oh, that's right. Top five with a D10.
Yeah.
Which is a really cool one.
Yeah, it's a good one. Yeah. I had a lot of fun with that. What's going on, Kenny? How's it been?
Good, good.
Yeah.
You?
Yeah. I've been good. I've been good. Busy.
All right. So to start this podcast off, I'm going to ask you a question.
Uh-oh.
To imagine something.
I'm good at that.
Could you imagine?
I could.
Spider-Man done by Pixar.
Yes, yes.
Now I'm going to show you the image.
Now you're going to show me. You're going to have to. Yeah, that's pretty much exactly what I expected.
Is that not cool?
Yeah, that's very cool.
So I figured I would show you that and kind of start off our episode.
We may have to include the image in the show notes or something like that.
Something like that.
Yeah.
So yeah, what's going on, man? It's another week.
It is another week.
Episode 7.
Are we really? Episode 7.
This will be episode number 7.
This is it's getting a little bit easier, I think.
Yes.
Yeah.
So this week, I think we're going to talk about WandaVision and what is going to happen.
Which I was excited to talk about this last week.
Yes, but we had a better idea.
Yes, and you know, we have to keep our excellent timing.
Yes. You know. Well, I think it's actually excellent timing because after this, when this episode goes up, is the week following what Paul Bettany and the showrunner have said is going to be the most mind-blowing episode. Episode four.
Episode four is going to be a big one, huh?
Episode four is
supposed
to blow
your mind.
We haven't
seen episode four.
Yes. This is 2 days before it?
Right, yeah. Well, what do you think so far? I mean, we haven't really talked about WandaVision.
Not really.
Yeah.
I like the show.
Finally, some Marvel material after a long year of no Marvel material.
Yeah, big drought.
So I've been super excited. And I've been really enjoying it. You know.
I like it. I like the way they... obviously, they did the playing on classic TV with the commercials and the...
For sure.
And the intros.
They've given the audience a lot to chew on, though.
Yes.
There's a huge amount of room for speculation and theory and wondering in a way that you wouldn't get out of a movie.
No, you know? Because it's like you get a little bit of information
and
then you get a little bit more and then you get a little bit more.
Yeah. And I think they're really taking advantage of that.
Yeah.
The serial nature of this, you know.
I do too.
If you could imagine like a comic book adaption, if you will, of
a
WandaVision.
Comic book movie.
A comic book based on a TV show based on a series of movies based on comic books.
Yes.
Yeah.
No,
it does. It seems to have the serialization seems to feel like comic book issues.
Like issues.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Yeah. This is Kevin Feige going, all right, we're going to make comic books now.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's fantastic. I think he's doing really cool stuff. This is really awesome because supposedly this show leads into the next Doctor Strange.
For sure.
Leads into has effects on Spider-Man.
Right. And really opens up phase four.
It opens
the
up
multiverse,
phase four.
Yeah. Getting the X-Men in there, which probably isn't phase four.
No, I think Well, it's Fantastic Four is the first one.
Fantastic Four seems like it's going to come out first.
Yeah. Well, no, they've already announced. He said Fantastic Four is what we're doing first.
Yeah.
Which I think is cool. So my theory is, what do you think of the show and what do you think's going on?
Well, okay. So to me, it's a construct generated by Wanda.
Yeah.
I think that she initially built this. It looks like in a pre-existing physical location.
Yeah, I think it is an actual town.
And then it's been co-opted. So I think that, you know, that's basically what I think it is. You know, it's Wanda's creation. She's essentially in control, but there's been another element. Because it seems to me like that S.W.O.R.D. has a way to communicate. You know, they seem well established in the perimeter. Mm-hmm. Up to episode 3.
Yeah.
And they've shown, like, through the radio and stuff, that there are agents trying to contact Wanda.
Well, they've had two. They had that break in. They have somebody watching They've sent two people in. The guy in the beekeeper outfit because he had.
He had the sword emblem on his back. There was a sword emblem on the helicopter.
There wasn't there?
Yes, yes.
Oh.
What's her name? She's supposed to be Rambo.
Yeah, Monica Rambo. I forgot what her name is.
Yeah, she's got a different name right now in the show. Yeah. But she had the sword necklace.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that they're sending agents in there. I think that they're well established.
Whatever's going on corrupts them and they forget who they are.
Yeah, going in screws things up with it, you know, like...
Mentally,
yeah, yeah. But at the same time, so I also think that with, as far as Vision goes, I think she recreated Vision with her powers.
Yeah.
Including the Infinity Stone. Including the Mind Stone. That's what it seems like. And she can destroy one on her own without any stones. Thanos used the stones to destroy the stones. So I think that she might be powerful enough to kind of wish it back into existence.
That's true. Yeah.
You know, her powers come from that stone.
Not from that.
Not
from that stone. No, it is.
The Tesseract. Which one was in the Tesseract?
That's the Power Stone.
Because it was through the Tesseract that she ended.
No, it was the staff. Strucker. It was the mind.
Oh, it was the staff. It was the Mind Stone.
It was the Mind Stone.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So all of this has been circling through the Mind Stone.
Yeah,
and there's been some direct imagery towards the Mind Stone as far as the disappearing cabinet.
Oh, that's right.
Magical trick on the cover of that shape with the rays coming off of it was straight up the Mind Stone. Yeah.
I like all that. I think she's doing it. I think maybe when Vision died, she kind of broke her and she's trying to like bring her stuff back. But I think this is an interesting theory that I like I saw on the internet is that all the residents are the magic users of the Marvel Universe.
Interesting.
So
I know about the theory that
Agatha Harkness.
Yeah, Agatha Harkness.
The other neighbor.
Yeah.
Is Dr. Voodoo.
Okay. Okay.
And what was the name of the? It's an X-Men magical user. It's the Dottie. I forgot which one. Like Circe.
Dottie?
Dottie is
interesting.
Is a magic user too.
Interesting.
So,
well, have you noticed they're using the same guy for the commercials?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of the name of the actress.
That would be really interesting. That would be really interesting if this brings in all the
magic. Yeah. Well, I think what happens is
where's Mordo in all this?
He doesn't like other magic users.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. He's awful. Isn't he supposed to be on a mission to kill them?
Yeah, that's true.
No. His problem is that there's too many magic users.
Too many sorcerers, yeah. No. He may be there and we haven't seen him yet.
For sure.
Could be the husband.
Ralph. I have theories about Ralph.
Ralph?
Yeah.
He's either Nightmare or Mephisto,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah,
he's one of those two characters.
It's on my list, yeah.
Because I think those are the villains for...
Doctor Strange. And Mephisto, even though I don't know if he's like the big bad, but he can't not be a big bad. You know, as far as major villains go,
Mephisto or the devil is biggest.
Yeah.
So I think he's the one they're introducing.
Yes.
He's like the Thanos.
For sure. Yeah.
You know, they're going to introduce him a little bit and then he's just going to kind of be dealing.
And we'll see. Yeah. In and out.
His things, he's kind of messing with stuff and then the heroes kind of run up against it and fix whatever he's screwing up.
Right.
Yeah. And I think she's trying to, he knows that Wanda is somebody that could hurt him or stop him.
Yeah.
And so he's trying to take her out as a preliminary strike.
In reference to the comics, her kids originally were imbued with parts of Mephisto's soul.
Yes, that's true.
And so maybe Mephisto, you know, and then there is a theory. It's not mine originally, but I've heard it that that Mephisto wants the kids.
Yeah,
you know, and so that ties into the whole for the children.
Well, I think
encouragement for Wanda to have kids.
The thing that I think is interesting, the theory that I liked that I just recently read about was they say that Evan Peters has been on the set. He's famous for playing Quicksilver in the X-Men movies.
Oh, okay.
And there was a rumor, he got caught on set. They saw him on set. Yeah. So he's in the show, but they haven't said he's in the show yet.
It'd be weird if they brought him in as Quicksilver.
Everybody is like, yeah, it could be Quicksilver, you know, the multi-dimensional stuff. And that's kind of rude to her brother.
My feeling exactly. Yeah.
Which I understand.
Marvel should do that. But her kid.
That's what I say. The prevailing theory is that he's playing Mephisto, which he would be a great actor to play Mephisto.
Okay. Yeah. I think it'd be much more interesting though, to bring him in as
Speed.
Yeah.
That's the new
Wanda's kid. And here's our new speedster in the Marvel universe.
You kind of cut my theory off. That's what I was leading to is that, somebody was saying that he's not Quicksilver.
It seems a pretty clear path, actually.
Yeah, there was a big rumor that they are. You know, somebody was like, oh, no, I was on set. They're doing Quicksilver things with him.
Right.
Like, he's doing all these special effects for that stuff and this and that. And somebody went, no, they're not going to be that mean to the Aaron Taylor Johnson Quicksilver.
Yeah.
And he's like, and he goes, but if they're doing all that, he could be playing Speed.
Yes.
Which is, he has the same powers.
Yeah, totally.
So.
Yeah, and so we wouldn't. I mean, we don't get as a long-lived Quicksilver in the MCU, you know, as I would have liked, but at least we still get a speedster.
Yeah.
And using that guy, I mean, is great.
That's great. He's a great actor and he does a great job, especially in that type of character.
Yeah. And then we do kind of get both.
Both. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, what I like is that because the Quicksilver he played was not the same as the Quicksilver in the in the comics, but the Aaron Taylor Johnson one, he was kind of brash. He was arrogant.
Neither one of them was comic book Quicksilver. Yeah. I liked them both, but neither one of them was,
I think the Marvel one was a lot closer because he was brash. Always why can't we just do this?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, and he's just,
it was. Yeah, because the comic book version was really
kind of an asshole.
An asshole, really impatient, you know, was even a loner, you know.
A little aloof.
Later you learned because of how difficult it was for him to tolerate being around people moving at normal speed.
Yeah.
Just talking to them was, you know, it took forever for him.
Yeah, he seemed a little aloof.
Yeah.
And that's what I think that he brought to the MCU, Quicksilver brought to the. To the character, he brought that. He's a little loop. Yeah, and the only person he paid attention to or cared about was his sister, because that's his sister.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely closer than the X-Men version of Quicksilver. Yeah. But
the X-Men version of Quicksilver is more like the kid from the comic books.
Right.
So he kind of played that character already anyways.
Yeah.
But that's not knocking Evan Peters. He's a great actor.
Yeah.
I've seen him in other stuff. He's really good.
I think they were both great.
Yeah. So we get that fan service. I think Kevin Feige is probably talking to Dave Filoni and Jon Favreau about fan service and how to do it right. Because they're giving giving you if he does make him speed, that's giving them the Quicksilver they wanted, but not really.
Yeah. It's a genius way to do it right.
Yes.
You know, and because that's really, I think the best fan service in this is doing the stuff right. You can change things, mm-hmm. but if you're really working to honor the existing materials, as you recreate and modernize them, I think that's really, you know, what the fans, you know, want,
yeah.
you know, there are, you know, and I'm fine with a lot of changes and adjustments and expansions, you know, but I think of in the camp of, instead of changing old characters, make new ones.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I've been super excited.
Yeah.
What do you think happens from here then?
Ooh, that's a tough thing. Now that you said that the toy copter had the sword logo in it.
Yeah.
So in the trailer, there's a helicopter.
Right.
Outside in the sword area.
Yeah.
What I think would be interesting if that's the same helicopter. Like
I think so. I think that's not a toy. I think that that's actually a helicopter that when it came in, you know, Wanda's bubble turns it into a toy.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I was thinking.
You know, because there's clues as far as like the usage of color as well. You know, at least
for sure.
in the black and white episodes. You know, then you really start to have to, I guess, like look for the red, you know.
What I was saying earlier is that some other people have pointed out, kind of what I noticed is that when she does things, mm-hmm. it's that like red sparkly wave. And then there's the like glitch.
Right. There's the TV effects.
Yeah. The TV glitch effects.
The rewind. I think the rewind was her though.
No, the rewind was her because it kind of had on the edges.
Did it have a little bit of a reddish to it?
Yeah. And the shot overall kind of had a red hue to it.
Gotcha. Because she's done that twice. She did a jump cut and she did a rewind.
Yeah, she did rewind. And she did kind of a hard reset, actually, I think.
Yeah. Well, there's that point, where Vision's like, there's...
No, actually, like, I think...
What's going on here? And then it just cuts back.
No, I think that was not her. Because that's a TV style jump cut.
Yeah, yeah. It was a...
I think he was realizing something was going on.
Yes.
And Wanda was coming out of... Like, she was like, wait, my brother, like... She got mad at that.
The same thing with Quicksilver.
Yeah. Yeah, she got mad at that, but she was like kind of wondering what she was kind of breaking free, I think. And they kind of just, and whoever's like doing the other stuff just kind of.
Right.
But if you want to talk about that, there's the scene with the two neighbors standing in the front lawn.
Oh, yeah, where the dude's
cutting the
hedges and then he cuts into the wall.
Well, yeah, but there's the one late, a little bit later in the episode where. Agnes Harkness or whatever they're calling her is standing there talking to him.
Yeah.
And they're asking him about Monica Rambeau or whatever her character is. And they're like, hey, she doesn't even have a house here this and that. And then
I think she came in on that helicopter.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
But I also think that what happened is that they're sitting there. Well, when they had that little interaction between them two where like she's talking to Vision and then she turns and she's like, no, like shakes her head.
Right. Right.
And is like giving him a stern look. And he's like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
I think
to a point, some of them are confused, you know?
I think if those two are magic users, I don't think her powers would resist. And they're just kind of playing along to kind of figure out, I think my theory is that she's kind of crazy and then being manipulated. She kind of lost her shit.
Yeah.
And it kind of is being manipulated.
Yeah.
And
she's super duper powerful.
And she's super duper powerful. Yeah. So that's why all the magic users are there. That's why I don't know where Dr. Strange is or why he's not in there, but I think they didn't put him in there to give it because they would give it away. But I think Agatha Harkness. That'll
probably come more clear towards the end where he's been.
He might be outside with the sword guys.
Yeah.
But I think Agatha Harkness and Dr. Voodoo are in there.
Yeah.
And they're there to kind of like, they're trying to like get her to come back. And
I don't think that Agatha is there for good intentions.
Well, she's
I think she's one of the people co-opting things and trying to manipulate
Wanda. Well, in the comics, she's one that teaches Scarlet Witch how to use her powers magically.
Yeah.
So I think there might be something with that coming up.
Maybe that even might be why all of this was kicked off, why Wanda created it in the first place.
Yeah. You know?
And where there's sword supervision, right? So they already have a place picked out. They already have the Sword camp. Sword already knows how to...
I think it's been going on since the end
reach,
of...
Reach, yeah.
No, I
reach
think this Wanda. Has been going on since the end of Endgame.
For sure, yeah.
The time afterwards.
Yeah.
And I think she went there to kind of like fix herself, and then this thing happened, and then somebody noticed it, and then...
Therapy. She may have just triggered it, and then they found it.
Found it, and then they built a facility around it. Yeah. I think because it's a camp. It's not like a... Because they're doing it a facility.
It's not like on a base.
It's an outpost.
Yeah.
So I think... I don't know. It's hard. So what do you think... I also read in an interview that Feige talked about how Monica Rambeau is a very important character coming up because she's very powerful.
For sure.
She's almost as powerful as Captain Marvel.
Right. Yeah. So she's Miss Marvel.
But she doesn't have, I don't know if she has,
I think she has a similar, but.
Well, no, I don't think she had in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, Captain Marvel has, Infinity Stone powers. So she's as powerful as Scarlet Witch. They're on the same level.
Yeah.
So I think, and I don't know if Monica Rambeau has, if they're giving her, Infinity Stone powers.
Right.
Cause I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe she got them when she was younger. Cause she was around the Space Stone.
Right.
So maybe that's how she gets them and they just take forever to kick in.
Yeah. Maybe she hasn't gotten her powers yet.
No, I think maybe she got it. I think if she could live through that, she must have her powers. Yeah.
Being tossed through the...
They wouldn't send somebody in there unless they have powers, I think.
Yeah. Because of how dangerous it could be and stuff. Yeah. Cause you know, especially with Wanda not being able to recognize people or know what's going on, recognize reality. You know, she perceives you as a danger. You know,
there's a lot she can do.
she damn near ripped Thanos to pieces, man.
That's true.
Yeah,
that is true.
Yeah.
So
I think next, you know, they're gonna start breaking out more and more, and I think with you know Monica Rambeau's character being thrown out at the end of 3. I think now we're going to have a split in the episodes of outside world, inside world.
I think what would be neat,
you know, is if the curtain has been fully shown to us now.
Yeah, I think what they should do, and hopefully it would be kind of a neat way to tell the story, is that they start the new episode and it's Sword, and it's all leading up to this thing, and they don't tell you, but it's back at the beginning,
right?
So at the end of the episode, the helicopter's flying in, then it hits the thing, and then turns into the toy, and Monica Rambeau like parachutes out or whatever.
And then we get all the
And then
the front end pieces.
Well, we get
this puzzle.
There's the three episodes that we get inside, and then we'll get an episode telling us what was going on outside during those three episodes.
Okay.
I think hopefully that's what
that would be an interesting tie-in, because there could be stuff that they do that we see
that we didn't realize.
Yeah, like the radio communication would be an obvious one.
Yeah.
The helicopter, the beekeeper.
Yeah. All that stuff. We can see from that side of them going in.
Yeah.
I think it would be cool because at the end of the first episode, they have that person turn the TV off, close the sword book, and get up and walk away.
Yeah.
So I think it would be cool to start the episode at that point.
Right.
Totally. Like you see that person, who that person is, and what's going on in the outside world. I think that would be...
That'd be interesting.
If I was writing it, that's the way I would do it.
Be a total mind blower if it was Coulson.
No, he's not in the movie universe anymore.
I know.
They've
officially split that. That's an alternate timeline.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
how none of the Avengers ever find out that he's still alive.
Yeah.
You know, it's because he's not in that.
He's not in that universe.
Yeah.
Which is fine. That show was great. And
absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. You know, it puts a little bit more into Tahiti as well.
Yeah. It does, doesn't it?
You know, yeah.
Cool. So that's what I think. What do you think is going to happen?
Yeah. I think, now that we've broken out, that I think we're going to start seeing more like split episodes, like in and out.
Well, there's,
I don't know if they might do that recap, you know, where they retell, the same amount of time from the first three episodes.
I think they won't.
That would be cool.
I don't think they'll use three full episodes. I think they'll just use one episode.
Yeah. And that would work as well, I think. But then moving it forward with, you know, because there's a lot of a lot of weird questions, you know, and I'm mostly concerned, honestly, and curious about Vision. How, like, what did she do, you know?
Oh, how that he came about?
Yeah, and then how was he brought back? In a way, you know, I think my biggest disappointment with WandaVision in general is that...
You don't know what's going on yet?
No, I wanted Vision to come back as a gray or white version.
Without
the stone. Like, they find a way, like in Wakanda or some shit, to rebuild him.
You know, oh, yeah.
Like turn him back on, and he's... And then he's like the white Vision where he was... more on the robot side and less on the, you know, aware side, the less of the human side.
That would be neat if they did that in the end.
That'd be interesting. Yeah. Yeah. Cause when he went gray, when Thanos pulled the stone out of his, you know,
forehead,
he goes gray. I was like, oh my God, we're going to get, you know,
gray Vision.
We're going to get gray Vision. Yeah. You know, and he's not so colorful anymore. You know? And, cause I like the look better, you know.
Yeah.
He rocked the cape a little bit more often and, you know, was more like ghostly and weird and
totally. Yeah.
And in the comic books, that's because that added to, you know, how intensely in love he was with Wanda in the comics, and then he becomes the gray Vision and he doesn't give a shit anymore. He doesn't care.
Yeah. He loses his humanity.
Yeah, his humanity is gone.
Well, maybe that's what they'll do at the end.
Maybe, yeah.
That would be interesting. What do you think about, in the trailer, they've shown him dressed up as Vision in his Halloween costume?
Oh, yeah, I can't wait. Yeah, I watched the trailer once.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't watch the trailers. You know, I watch them, but I only watch them the once. Yeah, you know?
I watch it a couple of times.
And so I am excited for the Halloween bit. I haven't gotten to see where they're dressed up in their classic comic costumes. Absolutely.
Which is fantastic.
Which is going to, yeah. It's going to be fantastic, and I can't wait, but it's also going to make a really great argument for why they reimagine how these characters look nowadays.
Because nobody would wear that shit.
Yeah, yeah. It wouldn't fly at all. Yeah.
Yeah. Nobody wear that.
No.
So I just looked it up. It's 9 episodes.
Okay. So we're a third of the way. Nice. All
right. So that's the first act.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we get the second act and the third act. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And that is a good turn with, you know, Rambeau being tossed out of the, out of the simulation, out of the construct. Yeah.
It'd be interesting if they did do 3 episodes outside.
Yeah. I like how Matrix-y they kind of represent the construct, though. You know,
yeah.
That this VR, you know, because there's almost even a VR sense to it, especially in the end credits when you have all those like RGB pixels.
Yeah, well, that's a
you know, it's very TV screen, you know, scan line kind of.
Here's a strange thought
that I think is an important clue. You know,
I think it. Well, they say. Everybody's like, why isn't there a post-credit scene? And the showrunner is like, everything in Marvel you should watch to the very end because all of that stuff is important.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, oh, so I think
watching
that stuff
those
it is
whole sequences. Yeah,
you making that connection.
Yeah,
I think they gave it away at the end of the first episode.
Yeah,
and I this is a thought that I just had because of the way you put it, like you said that it's Matrix-y.
Right.
End of the first episode, like I said, they. Turn the TV off, close the book, and get up. What if it's Mojo?
Oh, my God.
TV?
That would be, yeah. That would be a real hard turn, man.
Dude, Mojo.
No,
that's X-Men right in.
Yeah.
They say that they're going to bring in X-Men characters. And everybody's like, oh, they're going to bring in Wolverine and Cyclops. And they're like, no, we're not going to do that. They're like, we're not going to bring in those X-Men characters.
Mojo is something else.
So they're bringing Dazzler. Dude. Maybe she's not Monica Rambeau. Maybe she is Dazzler.
That's really interesting because... J. Scott Campbell just recently did... like a prestige piece of Dazzler and Longshot.
Well, so if you think about it...
Longshot's from the Mojoverse.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So if you think about it, what was her costume? What did her costume... what everybody's saying Monica Rambeau, which I am not going to say that, because they have not confirmed
their costumes
that.
Are...
No, look at her costume and look at Dazzler's costume from the 70s.
Well, Ms. Marvel's costume and Dazzler's costume have a lot of similarities.
That's true.
So... You know, you could easily just be shown one of those real quick and be like, oh, okay, that's Miss Marvel.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. That is true.
Marvel hasn't confirmed any of that, so it could be Dazzler.
Everybody has just assumed that she's Monica Rambeau. Nobody, nobody's officially said that.
I think there's been confirmation that she's the same character that played the little girl in Captain Marvel.
Okay, so she is Captain Marvel.
Yeah,
or she is Miss Marvel.
Yeah.
But imagine if the villain wasn't Nightmare. Or Mephisto.
Dude,
what if it was Mojo?
I don't think that's going to happen, dude, but that's an interesting angle there.
Well, though. They said they're talking about, well, Mojo, they made MODOK.
Really?
They started the...
Yeah, that's right.
They started the... Yeah. In Iron Man 4, they started all the MODOK stuff.
They did.
So, and they're doing a MODOK animated TV show.
Yeah. So I think they could pull that off live action these days, man. I think they could pull off like a legit MODOK.
Well, I think
live action that would be ridiculous and believable.
At the same time.
Yeah.
No, but I think, but Mojo. I mean, come on.
Oh yeah, yeah, dude. Mojo would be fantastic. That's an angle right there.
They said they're bringing in X-Men characters.
Yeah.
And they said, no, we're not bringing in Wolverine. No, we're not bringing in all these other X-Men characters.
I'd heard about Rogue being in the next Captain Marvel. And that right there is already just shots fired. If you're bringing in Rogue and bringing her anywhere near Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
And the rumor is that she'll be a villain. Rogue will be a villain. And that's
how it's supposed to start.
This is how it starts.
But I mean, that is the can of worms to bring the X-Men in.
Yeah. It's one of the hardest things. How do you bring in, you know, these X-Men
from
where you want them?
Yeah, but no, I think that I just thought of that. That is
such a pre-established
fucking an awesome idea.
Yeah.
And I want to upload this week because
this one's not going to drop until after episode 4 is out.
I know,
but
they may not reveal that it's Mojo either.
Episode 4. I think with Doctor Strange, they're just going to crack it all open. They'll be able to do whatever they want.
Well, yeah.
Because of the multiverse and their ability to, they're going to go grab the Sinister Six from different...
like I said, and if you use Mojo...
Spider-Man franchises.
Mojo is an alternate dimension, dude.
Yeah,
like, the Mojoverse is its own dimension. Totally. It has the TV theme.
Power comes from ratings.
I know. Oh, my God.
That's so now too.
Absolutely.
Know? Yeah. People would really grok on that.
I believe that that's what it is. I wish there was I want to tweet at Kevin Feige right now and be like, dude, is it Mojo?
I don't even fuck with Twitter, dude.
I don't either, but
maybe we should though. For things like this.
Yeah, I want to ask him right now. I want to say, hey, is it Mojo?
Is it Mojo?
I wish there was somebody.
It's Mojo, isn't it?
It's Mojo. Dude, if I get banned or shut down or no response, I would be like, yes, it is.
And from Twitter.
Yeah, then I would complain about being censored.
Well, now.
Okay, let's stop.
That's one for another show. Not this show. Another show.
Okay. Right on. Well, I think that's an interesting episode, and it's time to, I think, do the top five with the
D10. Five with the D10. We're actually getting better at saying that, too.
Yeah, top five with the D10.
Here's our list. We're down to six of these.
So it's the top five with the D10, but I think we're rolling a D6 this time.
We are, totally.
So this is our favorite D6 number fives.
And it rolled a five, which is Sunday Funnies.
Ooh.
Yeah. Okay, cool. This is totally up my alley right now. It's your number three, huh? That's interesting. Yeah. I didn't realize you liked that one so much. Back and forth on that. Because they'll talk about their top five favorite hero ships, Mm.
All right,
and how could you possibly rate anything better than the Defiant?
The Defiant,
yeah,
that is a great ship. Okay, so top five Sunday Funnies. You went first last week.
Okay, yeah, that's right.
So it's my turn.
Let's do it.
Heathcliff.
Interesting. Nice.
Mainly, what got me into reading the Sunday version of that show was the animated show.
Definitely.
So I liked the animated show.
Way better cartoon than Garfield.
Yeah. Way better cartoon than Garfield. So it got, you know, my love of that turned into the love for the Sunday comic.
Right. Yeah. So yeah, that's what brought you in.
Yeah. Not too much.
Nice. My number five is a double, actually. And these two are really connected to each other, in my mind, at least. Wizard of Id and BC. The Caveman comic and then the Weird Wizard in the Tower.
No, I know.
Both of them were really repetitive and simple, but a really interesting way to kind of bring bigger ideas, you know, to a simple format. You know, Wizard of Id would often talk about politics in a way of like the ruler and the people
kind life of lessons thing.
And then and then BC with, you know, make a lot of technology jokes.
I always thought Wizard did a lot of the court jester.
Yeah, a lot of the court jester.
He was the court jester, really.
Yeah. And then the king in his tower.
Yeah.
Pointing out all the people on the ground.
Yeah, pointing out. Yeah. I really liked that comic.
Yeah, it was always light, you know, but they could actually, you know, they could get in a couple of, you know, social jabs and here and there.
So looking at my list reminded me that is my number four.
Interesting.
It's my number four.
Your number four is Wizard of Id?
Yeah.
Nice.
That's why I said I really like that comic. It was just one of those ones that it struck a chord with me. You know, like I said, the social ramifications of the.
It wasn't quite as heavy as like Doonesbury or like flat out political comics.
No.
So, yeah.
But it was more observational.
And kind of universal.
I thought it was clever. And back in that, when I was like really heavily reading comics, like those ones, I was trying to be clever because I was the weird kid.
Right.
You know, so I'd always try to make clever observations. Yeah. And so that it just struck a real good chord with me.
Hell yeah. So then what was your number four then?
That one. That was my number four.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
So,
And then, my number four.
Yeah. Your number four.
Is a Bullpen Bits.
is a fantastic comic.
It's a Marvel comic strip.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Eliopis?
Yeah.
He did that years ago, like in the 90s. You know, in the back of comics.
It was that and still the best Peanuts, Bob Schultz, homage ever seen.
Yeah. Oh, I loved it. You know.
Yeah.
His little Hawkman was fantastic.
Yeah.
His Hawkeye.
Hawkeye. It was the cool-o-meter.
Yeah, totally.
I would grab comics and read the cool-o-meter.
Yeah, in the Marvel bullpen, their little back page thing that they would put in their floppies back in the day. And man, I just love that comic strip. Yeah. So then, now number three.
From my number three.
Yeah.
Red meat.
Nice.
I used to get the New Times just to read that. And
yeah, absolutely.
And I even kind of did a Red Meat style comic with Rich and I when we were doing stuff.
Yeah.
That was the whole point and idea of that comic that him and I did together.
Genius.
Yeah. It was just taking static.
It's my number two.
It's your number two. I guess we should have prefaced this. We'll talk about the two comics that people are allowed to list.
Yeah, there's
two. People are going to scream at us at the end of this. Yeah, we're going to talk about those two at the end.
Yeah.
Red Meat was just a genius comic.
That's great.
It was one, two, and three. I mean, just it, and I think it heavily inspired that first Slide of Mine.
Oh yeah,
the Man in the Bar stuff
by Max Cannon. Yeah, and I think that strip influenced a lot of the humor that I seek out in comic strips and stuff.
Me too.
In a dark weirdness.
Yeah.
That was really clever. Milkman Dan.
What an asshole.
Yeah. Yeah, seriously. Some of the best ones. Yeah.
Milkman Dan. My favorite one still is it had that Edgar Allan Poe guy sitting there and the sun's like, look at me. He's like, just because he stopped doesn't mean I'm going to look at him.
Yeah. Just three panels of that dude.
Yeah.
And then the sun is the exact same panel.
Yeah.
Three times. Yeah. That strip was really good for that. And to really prove that it wasn't like a shortcut.
No.
But that it was a tool
for
using repetitive panels and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. So what's your number three?
My number three is Spy versus Spy.
Ooh, that's a good one too.
Yeah. you know, trying to look back, because I loved Mad Magazine when I was a kid. And as far as all those different bits went, Spy versus Spy was something I really sought out. And I drew those characters a whole bunch when I was younger. And I just, I really loved how like visually clever that those, that those
that's all
strips
that
would be.
Yeah. That's all those strips were visually clever.
Yeah, yeah, because there's no words.
No, that's a great comic, man. Last week you were jealous of my list. Now I'm super jealous of your list so far.
I love me some strips, man.
Yeah, that's absolutely great. So we're on my number two. Yes.
Yes. Yes, sir.
This is the first one that's not, I ventured away from newspapers, which is Penny Arcade.
Nice. Nice.
Absolutely inspired me for anything that we're doing now.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, it was a huge influence.
Maybe not content wise, but the idea of it.
Yeah. Even as far back as like 2000. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We were looking at that and being inspired to, you know,
yeah,
we could put this shit online.
Yeah. Yeah. That anything, like I said, anything we're doing today.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a very fair assessment.
So there's only one
I feel bad for not listing it now.
Number one is there's only one other comic.
Well, my number two is Red Meat.
Red Meat.
So yeah, we talked about that. Yeah. Yeah. Great
comic. Definitely. Sought it out when you had to actually go somewhere to get those comics. That's how good that one was.
Yeah. Yeah.
So my number one is probably my favorite comic, strip style comic of all time.
Yeah.
Mac Hall.
Mac Hall. Nice. Okay.
Because it was very similar. It was like Penny Arcade in the way that they delivered it and they set everything up.
Right.
But I just like his art, the way his art changed. And
his art was purely digital and really innovative.
Yeah. And I like the way he just did what he needed to do for the story.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things that I learned early on how to help. Like when we're coming up with panels and ideas for different things, when I suggest going, oh, just do like fuzzy half-ass shit on this, but do this part detailed. And
right.
But also doing like,
And using that as a tool, not like as a shortcut.
No. Yeah. As a tool.
But as a tool.
Using it to help focus on the parts of the story that's important.
Right.
And going, okay, this just needs to let you know there's a fucking car there.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't need any detail into that car. It just needs to give you the window and the door and that's it.
Yeah.
And then not focus on the characters or what's going on or the thing that they're holding.
Right. Yeah.
And
giving impressions of things.
Yeah. Giving impressions.
There was a lot of that in Mac Hall, especially in the backgrounds and stuff.
Yeah.
Anything that went like that left the focus
of the episode
of the story or the episode, even like sometimes characters would blur into the background kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's what I really liked about that.
Yeah. It was really good visual storytelling. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he's a huge 3D animator now. Definitely. So.
Right. Yeah. That's what he was going to school for.
Yeah.
And then my number one is Farside. Since the other two in the top three were ruled out. It left me no other option.
Farside's a great comic.
I mean, it's just, you know, it's just one of the all-time comics. And that it's a single panel really made a big difference. I mean, it's just harder, you know.
I agree with you on it's the type of humor that I seek out.
Yeah.
Because that the gifted school for the gifted where the kids pushing on the door that says pull.
Pull. Yeah. There's a level of insight and communication from Gary Larson. It's just brilliant.
Man. Yeah.
It's just, yeah. Yeah. And so then that's our top fives.
That's our top fives.
So we'll move into our honorable mentions.
They're not honorable mentions. They're two comics that would be number one and two for us.
Easily. Yeah.
If we had allowed them to be on the list.
Absolutely. Yeah. Starting off with Peanuts.
Absolutely.
Charles Schulz, giant Charlie Brown fan.
Yeah.
If you're aware of my Instagram account or become aware of it, you know, at any time recently, Levi Smith Art, you'll see how much of a Charlie Brown fan I am.
Yeah. And Mop and Bucket.
Yeah.
Instagram Mop and Bucket.
Yeah. Yeah. Follow that one too.
Yeah. Cause all the sketches that he puts up on there go on our Mop and Bucket too.
Yeah. And our comics.
Yeah.
Incidentally.
Yeah. And, you already know where get the podcast.
Yeah. I hope, hopefully.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, probably the comic that we love the most.
Yeah, well, I would say the best of the Sunday Funnies style of a strip, comic strip, you know, short form.
Calvin and Hobbes.
Yeah, Calvin and Hobbes. It's, yeah, just, you can't. It's just the best ever.
I just thought of one that I should have put on my list.
Really?
Let's just talk about Calvin and Hobbes, though. I mean...
Oh, I mean... How do you, yeah. I mean, how do you even express that to, like, you know, in an American culture sense? It's part of the fabric, you know.
It resonated with me in a way that nothing else really did.
Yeah.
I guess my honorable mention is what I'll talk about there.
Yeah.
Foxtrot.
Okay, cool.
I
dug Foxtrot.
I totally forgot because I was getting when we started to talk about Calvin and Hobbes, I was kind of remembered one of a comic. But then I realized it wasn't a Calvin and Hobbes comic. It was a Foxtrot comic where the kid, you see him and it's like the first panel and you see him and they're running and they're doing that cartoon run where the feet are like spinning, like say Heathcliff or whatever.
Okay, right, yeah.
And then the next panel you see him and he holds up an image of his feet spinning like that. So it wasn't them actually doing it in the comic. It was them pretending to be in a comic.
Nice.
Nice. To have that running.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That fourth wall break.
Yeah, it was totally. Yeah, they're fans of comics and that's what they do in comics and stuff like that. And so I was just like that comic, I fell in love with that one after that. I really started reading it after that.
Yeah.
Because I never read it before that. And then I saw that panel and I was like, wait, what's going on in here?
Right. Bloom County for me was that kind of, you know.
Yeah.
I didn't always read it at first, but then once I did start reading it, I was like, oh man, this is
amazing.
This is great.
Which reminds me of another comic that I actually left off my list because I thought you were going to put on your list. Mm-hmm. Dennis the Menace.
Oh yeah. Yeah. You know, I think I was a bit more into the cartoon and there were longer form comics that I associate more with Dennis the Menace than the comic strip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That cartoon, I think it's the same one that the one that was either before or after the Heathcliff cartoon.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
That one, like that show was amazing.
Yeah, the Dennis the Menace cartoon was great. Yeah.
Yeah,
I loved it.
Where it would do outrageous things and like he had made a lawnmower that turned into a plane and then it wanted to, and it was flying along and then all of a sudden the lawnmower wanted to mow the lawns the fields.
It's kind of like that's all that Bobby's World was.
Mm-hmm.
Was like a Dennis the Menace clone.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Just, you know, just with a higher pitch voice.
Yeah. Well, that is a great,
And that's
top five with a D6.
Yeah. Our love for, Sunday funnies and comic strips that aren't our own. We've already talked about that.
Yeah. Thanks for joining us. If you guys would like to see anything and all Mop and Bucket, head on over to the website, which is mopandbucket.net. Let's start this. Thanks for joining us. If you guys would like to see any and all things Mop and Bucket, head on over to the website, which is mopandbucket.net. Right now you can order a copy of Curse of the Jade Monkey and we are shipping them out right now.
Yeah, we got them. And then after that, go check out our Patreon account on Patreon.com/mopandbucket.
Yeah, it really does make podcasts and eventual video podcasts possible.
Yeah, it's where we build our empire.
Yeah, it's just $1 a month right now.
Yep.
We got some cool things. Levi's showing the posters that we're going to be having soon.
Yes. Working on some art prints, some poster prints. Also, by the time this is out, we will have already have launched on Patreon the Sequential Disorder Season 2 webcomic.
Yeah, that starts tomorrow, doesn't it?
It does. It actually starts tomorrow at the time of this recording. So, we're going to be dropping that. It's already done. We got a good 20 weeks.
20 weeks of that. And we're starting to work on the next one.
We'll drop them once a week. After about a week, we'll start dropping them public.
No, it's 4 weeks.
Is it
February 25th?
After 4 weeks. Yeah, after. You're right. And then, then it'll go public. But, so you get about a month ahead on the Patreon page. Plus everything else, all the oddball artwork and blogging, art blogging.
Cool.
You can handle. It's exciting.
Well, thanks for tuning in. thanks for tuning in, and we'll talk to you guys in a week or so.
Yeah, we'll catch you later.